It is Tuesday, October 10th, and this is your latest edition of From the Press Box here at the AHL Report. I'm your host, Amy Johnson, joined, of course, every week by my gracious co-host, the editor-in-chief and founder of Rocket Sports, Mr. Rick Stevens.
Glad to be here, and this is our first podcast after the start of the AHL regular season.
That's right. And first and foremost, I must get this out of the way. It's the first podcast after Thanksgiving in Canada, and happy Thanksgiving belated to you, and I hope you had a lovely holiday.
It was great, and if anybody wants to listen to our podcast from last week, we covered the top five Thanksgiving items on our list, and I'm happy to say that I think most of those items were covered.
Really?
Oh yeah, and they were very, very tasty.
Well, that's good to know. We had a couple of other people send in their top five Thanksgiving lists as well, and it actually started a little All Habs team food exchange, recipe exchange. So, you know, it's great. Keep sending all of that stuff in. We love it. But let's kick things off. We're going to get right into some AHL action with the Laval Rocket and the Belleville Senators opening the start of their seasons this past weekend. Of course, both of these teams, including the Binghamton Devils now, are the three new teams in the league this year. Of course, the teams themselves aren't necessarily new, but they just have all moved to new cities and as such are under the moniker of a new franchise name. Laval hosted both of their games over the weekend. It was a back-to-back Friday and Saturday, and they hosted the Belleville Senators, who took that short little drive down the highway there. And if you would like to read detailed recaps of both of those games, whether from a Laval perspective or from the Belleville perspective, you can head on over to our website at ahl.report. We've got full recaps as we usually do. But Rick, there's a few things in particular that I think that we should really kind of focus on for our listeners. The first of which, I have to say, what a way to start the franchise than with a shutout. And Charlie Lindgren has certainly picked up where he left off last season. He has looked absolutely lights out in the crease so far this weekend.
Lindgren's had both starts against Belleville. And if you look at it's very, very early, but if you look at the stats on AHL.com for goaltenders who have had two starts, there you see Charlie Lindgren at the top of the list. So a sparkling one in his goals against and a .956 save percentage and two wins in the win column already. So he's had a great start to the season.
Absolutely. He, you know, Belleville in the second game, Belleville didn't look all that strong. Either game, they really didn't. But there were times that they came really hard, and Charlie had some highlight reel saves, and just looks to be in fabulous form. Of course, you know, fans immediately are saying, "Oh, well, when's he going to get called up to the NHL?" Well, let's not rush that. But that's the whole purpose of him being in the AHL, is to get the ice time, get the reps, get the work in, so that performances like this past weekend, Rick, are really commonplace for Charlie, so that when he does make it to the NHL, it's not an extra effort for him.
Yeah, it was probably the right decision to send him down. He likes to play a lot, and he wouldn't have got that chance, you know, maybe playing 20 games in Montreal as the backup. So he's going to play a lot, and if he can dominate the way he has started. He had a very good season last year. He was an AHL All-Star. But I think being able to dominate and put in a strong season will be really beneficial to his development.
Absolutely. The first, for folks who like paying attention to those kind of historical stats for the start of a new team, the very first goal, regular season goal scored in Laval Rocket history did go to Daniel Audet. So congratulations to him as well. Now, the lineups, despite a 3-0 shutout the first night, Sylvain Lefebvre did go ahead and make some lineup adjustments for the next night, probably because of the back-to-back, but also probably to get a sense of what some of his other players could do. And one of, well, the two that came in for the second game were Jacob Jurabek and Nicky Petty, who came in for the second game. Petty had a great performance, one goal, one assist, which was fantastic. But Rick, I want to spend a little bit of time on Jurabek. You know, wasn't sure if he was going to come down or not, and he had quite a night. He had two assists and was plus two on the night, and looked to be. It'll be interesting to see if he stays in the lineup, as I believe he should, for this coming weekend's back-to-back series. But seems to be a great start for him.
It's odd. He didn't see much action in the exhibition season in Montreal, and just one of the two games. And the knock, I guess, or the concern about him is that he needs to learn how to play the North American game. Well, he's not going to learn if he's not playing. So I was right. Pleased to see him in the second game. And if that game is any evidence, there's not much really for him to learn. He looked great.
I think he's already there.
Yeah, moving the puck, he and as you said, got a couple of assists. So, want to see him in the lineup, and with the problems that the Canadians are having on defense currently, he could see a call up sooner than later.
Absolutely, the top line in Laval, of course, had everyone all abuzz. That was both nights. It was the same. It was Michael McCarron centering Chris Terry on his left and Nikita Sherbak on his right. Sherbak in particular, for that shutout game 3-0, he had an assist, was plus one with one shot on goal for the night. The second night, when they won 6-2, Sherbak was a plus one with another assist with five shots on goal. That line did what that line has always done. They really stood out. They tore it up. McCarron and Sherbak in particular were working very well together. And it's funny to me, I don't know, maybe this is, it's just me being silly, and the fact that we have watched these three athletes play together on the same line together so many times that it doesn't surprise us when they perform at this kind of level. But apparently everyone else in Montreal is suddenly, stop the presses. Where did Nikita Sherbak come from? And why doesn't Michael McCarron play like this in the NHL? And oh my gosh, Chris Terry can actually play hockey. Well, yeah, they can. That's why they've consistently been on the top line for Laval. And when they're given the space to play their game and given the confidence to play their game, man, is it really something to watch?
Chris Terry is one of the best forwards, the most productive offensive forwards in the AHL, and he proved that last season. He was second overall in scoring. Michael McCarron, I think so much was expected of him, and a lot of those games in the preseason he froze. Yet he worked very hard over the summer to change who he is, both nutritionally and his muscle tone and whatnot, and putting him in and with offensive line mates, he can play that role too. And Sherbak is just unbelievably talented, unbelievably skilled. And then the nice thing about that particular line is that there's not necessarily a playmaker. Maybe Terry's the shooter, but any one of them can be the goal scorers. I think they're all up around six or seven shots for the two games. So, the offense can, the goal scoring can come from any one of them. And I think that's what makes them a real strong threat.
Absolutely. It's going to be exciting to watch them going forward. There were a number of guys who really had good games over the weekend as far as the Rocket are concerned. Marcus Eisenschmid had a good game. Jeremy Gregoire had a great game in that 6-2 match. He had a goal as well. It was really contribution from a lot of guys across the board, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch them going forward. So be sure to follow along this weekend. We will have continuing coverage as the Rocket remain at home this weekend in Laval, and they will have another back-to-back on Friday and Saturday night. One thing they haven't done yet, though, Rick, they haven't announced a captain. And most AHL teams have done this already. It's a little curious to me as to why they haven't. There were guys wearing an A in both games, and guys like Chris Terry, Matt Tormina, Byron Fraze, so not sure if those are temporary assignments for alternates or what, but captain hasn't come out yet. You find that odd, or do you think they're just kind of feeling that out?
I don't know what the reasoning could be. I think that I expected that they would have announced a first captain for the team when they made such a splash and they brought out every celebrity they could.
That's right.
In the first game, I would have expected them to, it would have been natural for them to announce a captain. They didn't. They had the reasons for doing that. But I expect has to come soon.
I would think so. But we can make our own announcement before that. As we kind of gave you a little teaser last week, we had a little friendly wager between Rick and I this year. After the playoffs for the Ice Caps ended last season and before the summer of trading and free agency and drafting and all of those fun things happened, we each, without telling one another who we wrote down, made a little friendly wager of who we each thought was going to be the head coach of the Laval Rocket. As you'll remember, Sylvain Lefebvre's contract was up, I believe, at the end of June. And it was well known that he was going to remain open for a possible NHL assistance position. So who was going to be the head coach for the Laval Rocket and who was going to be the captain? We each wrote them down on a separate piece of paper, sealed them in an envelope, and I've been holding on to them ever since, all summer long. And so even that we expected that there would have been a captain announcement by now, unfortunately there hasn't been. So we're going to go ahead and reveal this live today. Can you feel the tension and the excitement? We'll at least get to evaluate where we fell on the head coach, and we'll get some insight as to who we believed or still believe is going to be the captain of this team. Do you think you have all the answers right there, Mr. Stevens?
Well, listen, let's put this into context, because which you did a little bit, but this was done in May, and it was just after the playoffs had for the Ice Caps had finished. There was certainly a lot of unknowns, and we assumed that going into Laval there would be changes. Changes to the coaching staff, and you know, there were changes. As you said, Sylvain Lefebvre, perhaps surprisingly, didn't accept a position in the NHL. Chose to return to being head coach, but they made some changes in moving Larry Carrière as GM and some changes to Vinny Riondo and others in the organization, and did not change the head coach. But we were assuming that there was going to be some changes when this was done back in May of this year.
It's true. So I am going to forgive all the paper rattling, but I am literally going to open the envelopes here. Need some like very suspenseful background music here. I'm going to open both envelopes And we'll start with head coach. Start with head coach. Should I read mine first, or should I read?
Go ahead, read yours first.
Yours first. Okay.
Go ahead, read yours.
So for head coach, and this is in no way, shape, or form a reflection of whether or not I thought he could get a job coaching in the NHL.
Let me just add one thing before you read that. Do you also remember that there was reports from the French media that interviews were being held?
That's correct.
In May, Marc Bergevin was meeting with there, and there was a number of candidates that had come in for the head coaching position of Laval. So I thought I'd add that before you reveal your name.
That is true. We of course had written these down before all of those rumors had started happening as well. So this in no way, shape or form reflects my thoughts on his ability to have found a position in the NHL. I, however, firmly believed that Sylvain Lefebvre was going to come back. And that was who I selected. I did. It's written down right here, right on this piece of paper. It says coach Sylvain Lefebvre. For whatever reason, I felt he was going to be back. And I certainly understand his desire to want to remain open to the opportunities of potentially going and coaching in the NHL. And I wouldn't begrudge him that one bit. But he, from our interactions with him, it is quite obvious how much he truly cares about this team and its players. And of course the fact that it was going home to Montreal and families in Montreal and those kinds of things, I thought, there's still a good chance that he may just stay with the team. So I went with Sylvain Lefebvre. So when they started interviewing other people, I thought, oh crap, there goes my prediction. But,
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's well done.
Thank you. So I'm pleased to have him back behind the bench. I really am. Do you remember who you wrote for head coach, or do you want me to read what you have? Okay.
No,
go ahead. I'll let you. No.
Read it. Read the paper. Okay. I think I remember. Go ahead.
You have written on this piece of paper, which it's a very official document here. It's signed. It's dated as Thursday, May 4th, 2017 was the day that you wrote this down.
Okay.
Laval Rocket 2017-18 predictions for head coach. You thought would be Martin Lapointe.
Well, and I'm also correct, right? Because he was the head coach for the rookie tournament.
That's true. He was the acting head coach at the rookie tournament in Toronto. So you had a 4-day grace period there. but what made you choose Marty Lapointe?
I think that I was very happy that Sylvain Lefebvre came back. I like his interaction with players and the way he treats the team as a family and so I'm very happy with that. I just thought, given Marty Lapointe's interaction with the with all of the prospects that he probably, in addition to Sylvain, he probably knew them as well, all the players in the organization as well, and that he could do a decent job as head coach.
Well, I say kudos. That's a solid prediction, and as you say, it ended up being right for the rookie tournament. So you get points there.
That's
consolation, right. Now for the captains, who we predicted would be the captain this season. I am thrilled beyond belief to be absolutely wrong, most likely, for my prediction.
So now, granted, we understand that they haven't released the names of the captains yet. And so who knows what they're going to do, and who knows what Montreal is doing. You know, they're still shuffling some people around up there. But as it stands right now, it looks to me like I'm going to be dead wrong on my pick, which I couldn't be happier about, because I had picked Jacob De La Rose, that he was going to be the captain this year. Yes, and that's not now, again,
I'm sure
disclaimer
he's happy
here,
about it too.
Well, I'm sure he probably is. And this is not in any way, you know, most of the time an AHL captain, that's usually a signal that you're not going to get many, if at any, call-ups to the NHL at all, just for stability on the AHL team. And so that's not to say that I was selecting De La Rose because I didn't think that he would be deserving of a call-up or would get a call-up. This, to me, was more that, A, I had no confidence that the team would actually see him for what he's worth as a player and put him on the starting night roster. And so I unfortunately was kind of basically going in prepared for the worst, that they were going to send him down again. But that being said, I believe that he has very good leadership qualities. He may be quiet. He's not the most outspoken, boisterous, loud kind of young man or athlete, but when you see him interacting, even, you know, before and after games and whatnot, he has a very quiet maturity, is a good role model for other guys in the room, and seems to be very supportive of his teammates. So I had chosen De La Rose, and I'm thrilled to be wrong in that manner.
No, that's a very good choice. And as you said, he's kind of, I don't want to compare him to Markov, but the way he deals with the media is kind of like Markov, in that his teammates have a lot of respect for him, but you'd never know that, you know, based on what's said about him in the media and the way he interacts
right.
with the media. So there's yeah, I could see that happening had he continued in the AHL this season.
So on your side, do you remember who you selected as captain?
I believe I do, but go ahead.
So we were both wrong on this one. The person that you had selected as who you thought would be named captain was Stéphane Matteau.
Okay.
And
now,
I can understand.
That's not how I remember it, but okay. Yeah, that's funny because I had convinced myself that I had written down Jerry Grapehart. But
well,
okay,
I remember.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go right ahead.
Well, you know, Stéphane Matteau finished the season very strong. He didn't have a great season, but he played extremely well in the playoffs, and perhaps led the team to a certain extent. Seemed to be able to turn it up when possible. Now he's off to Vegas, and you know my mind was apparently I didn't write it down the way I remembered it. Was Grégoire in that, and that could still happen. I believe
it could still happen. It could.
You have Grégoire who's had a decent, well, no, not a decent start. He's had a good start to the season. Last season he was getting scratched, particularly down the stretch. He was scratched quite often, and maybe that's why I hadn't written his name down, but he's played both games so far this season. He's got a goal and assist, and he had a fight. It would be a Gordie Howe hat trick, but it happened over two games. But you know, he's kind of another one of those quiet leaders in that, you know, he was a different kind of player in junior. He was a very offensive player in junior. He had a 35 goal season
right.
In the queue. And now he's kind of embraced this shutdown kind of role that he has. He has the skill to chip in with a couple of goals here and there. He's had pretty consistent 11 and 12 point seasons the last 2 years. You know, the kind of player that's not necessarily you'd think of as getting a call up. He's got, you know, he's from Sherbrooke. He's got that right. going for him. And I think had I written down his name, I would have a pretty good shot of being right about him.
That's right. Well, as we said, we'll see what happens. Feel free to all of you listening, tweet us at the AHL Report. Who do you think is going to be named as the captain of the Laval Rocket? You know, you of course have the advantage of knowing who's on the roster. When we did these, we didn't know who was going to be on the roster and who wasn't, but we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. And this was a fun exercise, Rick. I give you a stick tap for coming up with this idea. We might have to do this again next year as far as predicting captaincy.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we won't be predicting head coaches, because hopefully they'll have a fantastic season and won't be anything that we need to concern ourselves about. For just a bit of news in general for Rocket Sports Media, you of course know that we are the home of very extensive and many times exclusive coverage of the Laval Rocket and the Brampton Beast, the Montreal Canadiens farm system. In addition to that, we also do provide some additional coverage for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and we're happy to announce that we're adding another AHL team to our extensive coverage this season. Many of you, if you were reading game recaps last year from when the team was in St. John's, then you'll be familiar with the name Joseph Whalen, who is one of our team staff writers who was covering the Ice Caps. He's based out of St. John's. And this year he has agreed to take on a whole new task for us, and he'll be doing extensive coverage and recaps of the Belleville Senators. So if you have, especially with the proximity there to Montreal, this will be a heated rivalry going down the road. The fact that they are sharing an affiliation with the Brampton Beast gives them another reason for us to bring a little more exposure to the Belleville Sens. And Rick, I think it's going to be a really nice addition and complement to the coverage that we're offering.
Yeah, I think so too. There's kind of a natural tie-in, as you said, with both teams for now sharing an ECHL affiliate in the Beast, both sending players to the Beast, and we have our coverage of the Beast, our coverage of Laval, and now of the Senators as well. And in particular, because this is in addition to the proximity, the frequency, there are teams that will play each other 12 times this year. So, and the carryover of the NHL rivalry. So, it seemed to be a natural to add. Joseph did a terrific job last year, has already got a couple of recaps out and expect to be seeing more from him on AHL.report.
Absolutely. He's doing a great job. And in case you're wondering, you know, so yes, these two organizations, Laval and Belleville, will face each other a dozen times at least this year. So that also means you're going to get recaps for those games. You won't just get a single recap. You'll get the typical the Rocket recap, which you're accustomed to, but there will also be a separate Belleville recap as well, which is all done from the Senators' perspective, so that Sens fans really have a home to come to find information about their team. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your fans around the AHL that there is a new place for folks to come to get coverage for the Belleville Senators. Moving into some other AHL news, first and foremost, you know, I could have thrown this in there for my where are they now for this week, but so I guess it'll get a bit of an honorary mention. But if there's one thing that I know very well, being a fan of the Philadelphia Flyers and their affiliate organizations, it's that goaltending is always an issue. And we talked last week about how, either last week or the week prior, about how Anthony Stolarz, the starting goaltender for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, was out with likely season-ending surgery. So they signed Alex Lyon, who was the backup, kind of becomes the starter. They signed Leland Irving, and they also signed Mark Dukanich, who was the starter for the Reading Royals in the ECHL. Well, this week, they've gone and they've made a trade, and Leland Irving is out the door. He's been traded to the San Diego Gulls for future considerations. And at the same time, the Philadelphia Flyers have traded with the Anaheim Ducks for a goaltender whom they immediately sent to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and that goaltender is Dustin Tokarski, who is a familiar name to Montreal Canadiens fans.
Absolutely. Well, as you said, the Canadians or the Flyers, they can be pretty tough on their goalies, and you know, there's a little bit of question as far as how they evaluate goaltending as well. In comes Tokarski, who's hanging around the Western Conference of the AHL, and he's back in the East. And he's a good guy. Good luck to Dustin. My issue with him is that he's a small in stature goalie, and the way and his stance, it makes him a much smaller goalie, and with the cutdowns and equipment and whatnot that have been taking place, he just doesn't fill enough of the net, and his athleticism can't make up for that. Having said that, he's an extremely competitive goalie, and
right.
That's where his strength lies. Good luck with the Phantoms.
Absolutely. Well, another player that I know you like to speak about pretty often also finds himself in the AHL this season. Much to, I don't know, possibly your surprise. I'm not sure. I'd like your feedback on it. And that's Jesse Puljujarvi has been sent down to Bakersfield this season. Up with the NHL team. And do you like this decision? We've seen Puljujarvi a couple of times, and he's quite a dynamic player.
Well, an interesting package. He's very physical. He's got great skill, skates well, protects the puck well. I wasn't surprised last season when he was sent to the AHL, to Bakersfield. This season, I think everybody was expecting him to be with the big club. And I saw one of the exhibition games where he scored twice. He looked pretty good. But to be fair, he had a kind of an up and down training camp. And there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of young talent in Edmonton, obviously. And but I think the surprise here was Kyler Yamamoto. Don't think anyone was expecting him to have. He had a superb camp. Made the opening night squad. I think he's the player that displaced Puljujarvi. And so if Puljujarvi is going to be in the press box or, getting 8 or 10 minutes a game, then I think it's a good move to send him to Bakersfield where he'll be playing 20 minutes. He'll be getting power play time. He'll be, that's fine. But I think this says more about what Yamamoto did in training camp. That was, for me, that was the real surprise.
Absolutely. And not that, we've seen Kyler play a number of different times over the last couple of years, and he's always been an impact player. We were impressed with him once again when we saw him at the World Junior Summer Showcase in Plymouth this summer. So you know, he has sort of done what a Victor Mete has done in that he's gone in and he made the coaches made the tough decision. We've got to keep this guy. So we'll see what happens there, and we'll see what happens with Puljujärvi. You know, I would imagine that he'd get a call up at some point. Moving along here, there is some news that's coming out of the AHL today, and this has been sort of expected, but has been officially announced now that for the 2018-19 season, the AHL will have 31 teams, as they did award expansion membership to the Colorado Eagles, who were in the ECHL last year. They will now be for next year, 18-19, they will be the AHL affiliate of the Colorado Avalanche. And Rick, this was something that we was kind of the writing on the wall. We knew this was coming, right?
Yeah, we were told that during the season, and it comes because of the addition to Vegas. And the NHL going to 31 teams, and so that each team can have their own affiliate. The AHL, a year delayed, will add the Colorado Eagles, and it's a bit of a carousel how it all played out. Vegas wanted a team that was competitive right away, that wasn't so much a development team. The two teams that come to mind that are like that in the league are Hershey and Chicago. So Vegas wanted Chicago. They got Chicago as their AHL, the Chicago Wolves as their AHL affiliate. And Chicago, the Wolves, were an affiliate with St. Louis. Now, this season, St. Louis is still going to send players to the Wolves.
Right.
But that left St. Louis looking for an affiliate for next season. They came to an affiliation agreement with the San Antonio Rampage. Rampage this season are an affiliate with the Avalanche. So Avalanche was left without an affiliate. So they become their affiliate becomes the Colorado Eagles. Follow the bouncing ball for
That's
next
right.
season.
Well, it means a lot of a lot of fan shakeup a bit out there in the Western Conference for next season as fans follow their teams around. But it'll be interesting and good to see. You know, every team will have every NHL franchise will have a dedicated AHL development team as well, which will do wonders for those teams in particular. Lastly, as far as AHL news, the other news that has come out today, of course, is the CCM AHL Player of the Week. And this week, it has gone to Warren Fogle of the Charlotte Checkers. This is his first professional season. And in the two games that he played last weekend, Rick, he scored four goals, two of which were shorthanded, and the game-winning goal in each of those contests. So that's a pretty remarkable opening to your professional campaign in the world of hockey.
That's right. He split the season last year with Kingston and with Erie, his first pro season. Four goals in unique form. The only other player in the league so far who has four goals is Danek Martel with the Phantoms. But because of the circumstances, the nod was given to Fogle, and a deserving candidate for Player of the Week.
Absolutely, and we will be sure now that the regular season is underway, we will be sure to highlight whoever is the CCM AHL Player of the Week each week right here on From the Press Box. Which brings us to, I'm telling you, this is as you said last week, it's one of the
Boy,
top
I like
two
this
segments.
One.
I know you do. I know you do. We're going to hit our Where Are They Now segment. And this usually highlights someone who used to be in the Montreal Canadiens system somewhere, typically. And kind of what's Rick usually has one, I usually have one every week, and we kind of go from there. So which one of us is going first today?
Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is actually news that just came out today. And so I actually scrapped my choice for today to go with this, since this is kind of breaking news a bit. Brian Gionta did not get picked up, former captain of the Montreal Canadiens, did not get picked up for an NHL contract this year, and as such has recently basically put it out there that he's going to make a bid to make the U.S. men's Olympic hockey team. And as such, the Rochester Americans general manager, Randy Sexton, announced yesterday that Gionta has officially been invited to practice with the Amerks for an extended, this is a quote from their press release, quote, for an extended period of time in preparation for international play. He was scheduled to join the Amerks starting today for team practice, and Gionta is going to just start putting himself through the paces with the help of Rochester's AHL team there in Rochester, and is hopeful to get to play in the Olympics.
That's great. I think Elliot Friedman was a week or so ago in his 31 thoughts or whatever he calls it, was the first to kind of put this out there that
right.
Gionta was looking for an AHL only deal with Rochester. He lives in the area. And was going to make himself available for the U.S. Olympic team. And if it happens, that's a great boost for the U.S. To have that experience in the dressing room and on the ice. What a great opportunity for Brian as well.
For sure, and quite frankly, for the Rochester Americans, that team in particular, to have a veteran guy like Gionta there at practice every day, those athletes can sponge off of him and learn a lot from him at the same time. So it's really a benefit to their team as well.
Absolutely.
So that leaves us with you. I'm waiting with bated breath because you always come up with someone interesting or random or.
Yeah, this week, there's usually multiple connections and all that sort of thing. Instead, I went for volume.
Oh, okay.
volume. Just a couple.
I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure what that means, but okay.
Well, just a couple of quick hits here. Mark McMillan played for the Ice Caps last year, solid faceoff
yes.
guy from Penticton, and was kind of displaced. His role was displaced by Nicky Petty this season. Mark attended the Marlies training camp, but has signed with the Wichita Thunder. We're talking about the Oilers ECHL affiliate. So Mark's good luck to Mark. He's a good guy, smart guy. And we'll wish
good
him.
Hockey player.
Yep. Yep. That's a quick one. John McCarron, brother of Michael McCarron, last season played 3 games for the Ice Caps. He attended the Manitoba Moose training camp, was released, and he's going back to the Florida Everblades. Last season, he had a 60 point season in 59 games. So he's a point of game player in the ECHL. So good luck to John in Florida.
Absolutely.
Maxime Lapierre, who last played for the Canadiens in the 2010-11 season. I always remember that certain members of the French media told me he was going to be the next coming of Claude Lemieux, and obviously that didn't happen.
No.
Played for the Canadiens, bounced around a bit, and then he's playing for Lugano in the Swiss National League. Last week, he signed a contract extension which keeps him in Lugano until the end of the 2018-19 season. And
oh, wow.
That's fine. He can, that's fine.
Yeah, he can stay there. Stay over there. He and Rene Bjork both just stay in Europe.
But my final one, and perhaps the most interesting one, both to Canadiens fans and Flyers fans, is Ryan White. He last played for the Canadiens. Sorry?
No, go ahead.
He last played for the Canadiens in 2013-14. It seems like it hasn't been that long. He had a couple of years in Philly. Last year he was in Arizona until the trade deadline. At the trade deadline, he was kind of the toss in the Martin Hansel trade going to mm-hmm. Minnesota. The Canucks signed him to a PTO at the beginning of training camp. He got a concussion in training camp. He was released. Now, as of today, which seems odd, he has signed a PTO with the Boston Bruins, which is going to seem very, very odd.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Very
Ryan
much
White
so.
in a Bruins jersey.
And I loved him. I loved him when he played for the Canadiens. I loved that he went to Philly. He fit in so well in Philly. He told people over and over again how much he loved playing in Philadelphia. I was very disappointed when he left the organization. But I still maintain that good old hashtag of Ryan, well, and I can't really spell it out here, but Ryan White is a BAMF, and I still believe that. And
what does that mean?
Unfortunately, I don't want to see him acting that way in Boston. So, best place we'd like to see Ryan White end up.
So, kind of in rapid fire, those are my where are they now, folks? As I said, volume this week.
I was gonna say, did you save any for next week?
Oh, there's plenty. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to what's typically either the most humorous or interesting segment of the show, and that is our top five for the week. And this week we're going back to hockey. Last week we deviated for the very important subject of food, which is, you know, bring me food. Speaking of food, like, why do we not have... There should be snacks. Don't we have like a catering service or something?
Just mention, you know, Doritos and in the mail, you'll get boxes and boxes of.
Oh, is that how that works?
Isn't that how that works? Yeah.
I hope so. But today we're going to go back to hockey. And today our top five is going to be kind of our top five power rankings of NHL logos. This is not NHL sweaters. This is actual NHL logos, and this is of all time. It doesn't have to be. It can be earlier versions of a current team's logo, or it can be logo of a team that doesn't exist anymore. But power ranking top five NHL logos.
All right.
Should be interesting.
And it is very. It is very different. My list for jerseys would be. Quite different, I think, than, or the rankings anyway, would be quite different from the logo, right? When you're just looking at
logo. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, it's a different ranking from the sweater.
Absolutely. And we will do a top five of top five power rankings of sweaters for the NHL. And we'll do it for the AHL as well. And we will probably... also do a top five AHL logo one as well. But this is strictly for the logo. So what is your number five selection?
My number five selection, which may seem a little odd, is the Vancouver Canucks. And they've had some hideous, the Flying V, they've had some absolutely hideous jerseys. But you know what? The hockey stick jersey, and I don't, mm-hmm. I didn't research to know what year that was, but the hockey stick jersey, I remember when I first saw it, it was probably in my SO Power Players. I thought, you know, it's a hockey stick. Who got paid to come up with that? But right. it's kind of grown on me. And at the time, I didn't realize that, you know, the hockey stick comes across. It's inside of what's supposed to be the rounded corners. It's supposed to be a rink, a hockey arena. And the hockey stick kind of separates the void is actually a large C for Canucks. Mm-hmm. And just the kind of very simple kind of classic look to it. I didn't like the colors on the sweater, but if we're just looking at the logo, I'm going to give it to the Vancouver Canucks, my number five
nice.
Spot.
Nice. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a kid at heart. I hope to, you know, I may be grown up, but I don't ever want to grow up. So my number five pick is something kind of along those lines. And my number five pick has to be the Mighty Ducks logo that Anaheim, back in the early to mid 90s. The movie, in fact, I think the NHL Network just kind of partnered with all of the NHL teams that had the Mighty Ducks movie on the other night, right before the season started. And for me growing up, the Mighty Ducks was one of my favorite hockey movies growing up, and I loved that Anaheim had that for their logo for a short period of time. It's just, it's fun. It brings back great memories from the movie, things of that nature. So that was my number five.
Nice. For number four, are we at four?
We are.
You know, I wanted to, I tried to include something like maybe a newer team. I thought of Columbus, mm-hmm. you know, the stripes around the star, the logo itself, it's not bad. I thought of something maybe, that we don't see anymore, discontinued, like the Hartford Whalers, the whale fin, the WH, the colors
right.
kind of bothered me. But I really couldn't fit them in. My number four is going to be the Montreal Canadiens. Now, if we were doing sweaters, again, you know, the Canadians wouldn't be down at number four. But when you look at their logo, the CH is absolutely iconic, but it's nothing real special.
Right.
It's very simple. So I'm going to give my number four to the Montreal Canadiens logo.
Nice. Well, my number four, I'm staying with the original six theme that you've got going there. To me, it's a classic hockey logo that I don't ever want to see changed, and I doubt fans would ever want to see it changed either. And that would be the Detroit Red Wings, for the simple fact that it is just a classic original six logo that I think is it's Kitley drawn logo, and I like that. You don't get that kind of detail in logos as much anymore. And it's just so iconic. You see that logo and you know exactly what it's for. And so Detroit is my number four.
Nice. At number three.
Go ahead.
No, why don't you do your number three first? Is what
well,
I was
only I was only going to really. Is that what you were going to say? The only reason I was going to jump in on this one for my number three is because my number three was your number four. I have the Montreal Canadiens at number three, and
right.
simply for the same basic reason of the Red Wings. It's an original six. It's one of the oldest logos still in use. It's classic. It's clean. The lines are clean. The colors are fantastic. And again, you know, you see that, you see the CH, you know what it represents, you know, the legacy that it represents. And it's just a very, very pretty logo. So I went with the Canadiens at number three.
Perfect. For number three, I have the Winnipeg Jets, and that would be the current version of the Winnipeg Jets.
Okay.
It's a It's a very striking logo. It mimics what you'd see on Canadian Forces aircraft. It's a very patriotic kind of for Canadians. It's a very patriotic logo. You have the red maple leaf, and on top of that, you have a CF-18 Hornet, the mm-hmm. silhouette. And that needed approval by the Department of Defense before they could use it. Just the colors, the military blue, the white CF-18 on the red maple leaf. It's a gorgeous logo. That's my number three.
Well, and the True North compass point at the top of it as well.
That's right.
I think is a really interesting detail for them to put in there.
Really well designed.
Very well designed. So who do you have at number two?
At number two, I have a team that you've mentioned and the Detroit Red Wings. That winged wheel is very classic. It's very iconic. It's, you know, it's two. They put two things together that don't belong together,
right?
and made it work somehow, and as you said, the detailing of the logo is what makes it just stand out, and it's it's very striking logo.
I agree. My number two, I don't know that I have a good explanation of why I picked my number two as my number two. It's just a logo that I think that I don't know, I just like it. And that's Edmonton's logo. The Oilers logo to me, it's tremendously special about it, but it still has that kind of old throwback vintage feel to it, I think that's probably what I like about it. I've always been drawn a bit to that logo, not necessarily to the team, but to the logo. Maybe it's the fact that one of their colors is orange and I'm a Flyers fan. I don't know. But the Edmonton Oilers are my pick at number two.
And nice color. They made some changes to, now we're getting into jersey, but they made some changes to their jerseys this year with the move to Adidas. And the color, the orange is not so, I don't know, abrasive. Orange is nicer, and the blue is nicer. So, and that's reflected in the logo for this season as well. So, I see why you might include that one.
Mm-hmm. All right, who's got the number one first?
Go ahead.
All right. Well, as I said with the Oilers, their logo to me still has that kind of throwback vintage feel to it. I like vintage looking things, and so my number one pick is actually a logo that is not in use anymore, but I love it. Is the Winnipeg Jets original logo? Mm. Love the colors. I love the font. The word Jets. Not so much the Winnipeg at the bottom, but the Jets. The font with the hockey stick for the
hockey
J,
sticks, yeah.
And then that silhouette of the Jet there in the background. I just really love it. It's just that classic vintage look, and it's just a beautiful logo and represents a very passionate fan base that I'm happy to see that Winnipeg got a team back. But the original Jets logo has to be my number one.
That's a good choice. Mine is the Chicago Blackhawks, and that crest is just gorgeous. It's beautiful. It was really well done, and I've always liked it. But when we were at the draft in June, and we went into the Blackhawks shop. And you hold that jersey in your hand and you see that crest there, you know, not only is it iconic, but it's, and the colors and so detailed, But there's just, you can see there's a lot of pride. It just says pride in volumes. And I think it's, yeah, I, in my opinion, it's the most beautiful logo in NHL and one of the most beautiful in sports.
Well, there you have it. Well, that was pretty varied. We only had a couple that we overlapped on there. And of course, for those of you listening, we want to hear what your top five power rankings for NHL logos, past or present, current team or non-existent team are. Be sure to tweet us at the NHL Report. Give us your top five. We want to share it with other readers and listeners and get some conversations going. And we just would like to know what you think are some of the best NHL logos that have ever graced the front of a hockey sweater. So be sure to tweet those out to us. Rick, it's been another great episode of From the Press Box. Thanks so much for being with us yet again.
Glad to be here and glad to interact with our listeners. You can find me at All Habs on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and interact with our main AHL account as well. That's the AHL Report on Twitter. We're happy to engage with you there.
Absolutely. And of course, you can find me at Flyers on Twitter. Always happy to chat with our fans and readers. And of course, you can find us right back here again next week on the AHL Report for another great episode of From the Press Box. Have a great week. We'll see you then.